In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Joyous feast.
Joyous feast.
Let's come to these icons in the center of the church. Today we celebrate the Feast of Saints Women of Alaska, together with the Feast of the Forefathers of our Lord. On September the 24th, 1794, St. Herman, along with seven other monks and two novices, arrived on Kodiak Island in Alaska, in Russian America. This was the first organized Orthodox mission to North America. Oddly enough, it was not the mission that originally brought Orthodoxy to Russian America. It was actually the Russian fur traders who preceded the missionaries, and they, to the best of their abilities, were able to impart some catechetical instruction to the native Alaskans. Clearly, though, that was not enough. These Russian fur traders, though some were very good character and spirit, others were quite cruel and subjected the Native Americans to nothing less than a type of enslaved existence. It is the missionaries, including St. Herman, who come to North America and provide one of the most important elements of the missionary legacy of our church, a legacy which this parish and all who call themselves Orthodox in America are to draw from and to add to. St. Herman was truly an extraordinary person in his simplicity. Look at his eye. He was not a priest, he was not a deacon, he was not a reader, he was not a bishop. He was a simple monk, a simple lay monk. And yet, in this simplicity, he revealed the face of Christ by being a nurse to the local people during time of epidemic. He was a father to those who were abused by the Russian-American Fur Trade Company. He was an advocate for the downtrodden, and as a result, was placed under house arrest for 2 years. He was a teacher of the gospel to all who desired to open the mind and heart to the light of Christ. He was a miracle worker, in that he allowed the Spirit of God to penetrate every fiber of his existence, so that those who did have an open mind and heart to God saw in the face and life of the elder Herman one who was possessed by the Holy Spirit. He was a lover of children and would be with children to teach them about the kingdom of heaven and would offer them simple gifts, simple baked gifts, in order to express his love and devotion to them. Undergirding the life of St. Herman is his ascetical life. And in the Akathist to St. Herman, there is one very important line. Rejoice, Elder Herman, establisher of the ascetic way. Now clearly, as a monk, St. Herman was not the originator of the ascetic life. He is the personification, however, of the life of our church, and therefore the faithful of the church are to assume. He is the establisher of the ascetic way inasmuch as he shows us that the ascetic life is the life that allows us to have union and communion with God. Now we Orthodox and I certainly am not an exception, use the term ascetic, ascetical often. And we have to now take some time to try to think as clearly as possible about what is the very foundation, the very origin of the ascetical life. When we hear the word ascetic, asceticism, ascetical, what comes to our minds?
Exercise.
Exercise. Anything else?
Mind, body, soul,
and heart. Anything else?
Freedom from passions.
Freedom from passions.
The desert.
The desert. One more.
Monastic.
All of these are correct answers, but there's something that undergirds them. Where does the ascetical life begin? It begins in our baptism, in dying to the old life, rising into the new life in Christ. The ascetical life is a life bound to the love of God. Saint Hermann is a great ascetic, not because he fasted, but because he loved God. And as a result of this love for God, he becomes one who continues in that baptismal dynamic by dying and rising with Christ continually. Now let us think for a moment about asceticism and love. Where does, if asceticism is rooted in love, is nurtured by love, where does it originate? Someone said baptism, we can say baptism, but even beyond baptism, where do we find the model of love? In God Himself. In God Himself. So let's think about this for a moment. Let's think about the scripture. In the gospel, in this case, in the gospel according to St. John, we hear that God so loved the world that He gives His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Father Himself reveals His love for us by going beyond Himself, not only in creating us, but in giving His Son for us, so that we might have new and eternal life. Jesus, at the time of the mystical supper, prior to His offering Himself up for the life of the world and its salvation, says to His disciples, "A new commandment I give to you." And what is that new commandment?
Love one another.
That you love one another as I have loved you. It's not just love one another, but you must love, we must love one another as the Lord Himself has loved us. And how has He loved us? By giving up Himself for us, so that we might become renewed. The Lord Himself empties Himself of all power and glory, as we read in the letter, St. Paul's letter to the Philippians. God, Jesus, being in the form of God, empties Himself and becomes a servant for us, so that we might have new and eternal life. And then the Spirit is poured out upon us, and the Lord tells us that He is giving us the Comforter, the Counselor, who will teach us how to walk this path of new and eternal life, as He reminds us of all that Jesus has taught us. So the very paradigm for love is God Himself, and this love is revealed by going beyond the self and reaching towards the other. The very foundation of the ascetical life
is the love God reveals to us, and we are called to reciprocate, to respond to that overture of divine love. Indeed, St. John tells us in his first letter that God is the initiator of love. God loves us first, and we are called to respond to that love. And because we are free, we can respond by accepting that love and returning our love for that love. Or we can turn our backs on that love, ignore that love, not heed that love, become hardened to that love, and therefore remain in that horrible existential darkness and loneliness. God is the paradigm of the ascetical life because God is love. God is the foundation of the ascetical life, and He shows us that just as He empties Himself, goes beyond Himself to draw us into His life, we have to empty ourselves in order to allow ourselves to be possessed by God. How do we empty ourselves? How do we empty ourselves? Denying the self. And so how do we deny the self? By not putting ourselves in the center. We live in a culture that stresses again and again and again the affirmation of the self, and certainly we cannot ignore our personhood. But when we put ourselves always in the center, and usually at the expense of somebody else, there is no opportunity for a real, healthy, continuous dynamic of love. In order to deny the self, we have to put Christ in the center. We have to put the one we love in the center. How many people have experienced love? Okay. Everybody has. Are there no romantics in this country? When we experience love, what happens?
We want to do for the other.
We want to do for the other. We continuously think of the other. We are uncomfortable without the other. We yearn for the other. We desire the other. We need the other. We are incomplete without the other. The same and more with God. We cannot breathe without God. We cannot move without God. We cannot see, feel, touch, taste, smell without God. We cannot move from the darkness into the light without God, who gives Himself continuously for us. And therefore, we can say that just as we desire to have God, or need to desire to have God in the very center of our existence, God Himself desires to have us in the center of His love. Indeed, the Lord Himself says at the mystical supper in the Gospel according to St. Luke, with desire, I desire to have, to eat this Passover with you. And the word that He uses is epithymia. We have archaeology, we have a Greek mind here. Epithymia is often understood in a very negative way, a passionate way. And yet this is the word that the Lord uses. With desire, I desire to eat this Passover with you because I love you and I give my life for you and I want you to have my life and I want to have your life. With desire, I desire to have and eat this Passover with you. This reveals to us, or provides for us, the foundation of the ascetical life. So often we Orthodox, when we hear about asceticism, we can only think about a change in diet. And that change in diet is really secondary. Anyone can change diet. Anyone can read the labels on soup cans and boxes and all those things and see what has 0.999% lactose and what doesn't, and we can become possessed by all of that anxiety. This is not true asceticism. The asceticism that leads us to prayer and fasting, the asceticism that leads us to self-denial, the asceticism that leads us to becoming less so Christ can become more, is an asceticism rooted in love. And love, in its strongest, most comprehensive way, love as true eros, a true desire to embrace and to enter into the love of the other. This is the love God reveals to us, and this is the love we are called to have for God. Now back to St. Hermann and all the great ascetics of the Church. They are the ones who show us that indeed it is possible to be possessed by eros, by this eros that drives us to renounce the self, not to obliterate the self, but to recover the self. Unless we have this self-emptying love so that the other can enter our existence, my existence, I am incomplete. I am not a full, whole person. To be a person is to be in communion with the other. To be a person is to be in communion with God and neighbor. Indeed, is this not the summation of the law and the prophets? When Jesus is asked, what is the great commandment? How does he answer? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, body, and your neighbor as yourself. And who is the neighbor? Anyone we encounter in our life. As the establisher of the ascetic way, St. Hermann reveals to those of us here in this land, in this parish, that if the gospel, not just the printed word, but this new life in Christ, if this new life in Christ is to be real, then we, who call ourselves the bearers of Christ, we have to be able to have this love for everyone and everything, a love that can often be painful, because anyone who has loved or been in love, even the romantics know about this, know how painful love can be. Why? Why can love be painful? Vulnerable. What else? No one reads romantic poetry? You know, one has read romantic poetry? Rejection. I give myself in my entirety to the one I love. And the one I love turns his back, turns her back on me, and I'm left alone. There is a pain that comes with this love. There's a risk that comes with loving. There's a vulnerability that comes with loving. We have to assume all of that. Because unless we assume all of that, we cannot be like the God who reveals to us what love really is. Unless we take that risk, unless we make ourselves vulnerable, unless we are willing, even though we'd rather not, experience that pain, that loneliness, that rejection, unless we assume that, we cannot be like the God who ascends the cross because he loves us and the world. We cannot be like the God who gives us his only begotten Son that we might have new and eternal life. We cannot be like the Spirit who penetrates every fiber of our, who desires to penetrate every fiber of our being so that we can feel and taste and touch and be embraced by that divine love, and in turn impart that divine love to everyone and everything. Today, December the 13th, marks the repose of Saint Germain of Alaska, who died in the year 1837. Saint Germain continues to be that foundation of the ascetical way of our church, the church that seeks to be possessed by God so that indeed it can be the presence of Christ which overcomes all disunity, all division. Saint Germain is in our midst, and he is the wonder worker of all of North America, and through his prayers, we have the possibility of being further fortified with that desire to be like God himself, to be empty of ourself for the other, so that the other may share our life in Christ, so that the other may enter that new and eternal life given to us and all the world. Amen.